Amen. Well, I hope you guys are ready for the Word of God this morning. Yes, excited. Wasn't the worship team like amazing today? Wasn't there? Give it up for the worship team. Worshiping God is a gift, and being in church is also a gift and a blessing in itself. I want to go to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. I'm going to share this word that you're either going to love it and appreciate it, or hate it and disregard it. You can't be in the middle with this sermon. You guys ready for it?
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. And Jesus said again, "It will be like a man who was going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once, didn't wait, he went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off. He dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. I will put on you now, notice, in charge of many things. Come and share your master's, can we say that next word? Happiness. Come and share my happiness, the master says. Verse 22, the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge now of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered. Well then, you should have, notice, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that it would return in interest. Verse 28. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It will be taken from him. I'm going to stop right there and let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive from you. I humbly ask that you would use me today to preach to everyone here, everyone listening online, Lord. And Father, that this message will either be loved, accepted, or hated and disregarded. So Father, I just pray with an open heart that we would receive it now with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on an interesting topic. I've titled this message, The Blessing of an Unfair God. The Blessing of an Unfair God. One of the biggest lies that we believe in the church today is that God is fair. That God is somehow supposed to treat everyone equally. It's this idea that what God did for this person, God has to do for that person. And what God did for them, obviously God has to do it for me. But see, when we read this story, this passage that Jesus was sharing, it tells us the opposite. It tells us that God is not a fair God. In fact, God is so unfair that it's actually one of the biggest blessings that we have. And you're saying, Pastor, that makes no sense. Why would an unfair God be a blessing to me? I want God to be fair. I want God to treat me equally. I want God to give to me. But the truth is, an unfair God is actually one of the biggest blessings you will ever have in your life. Let me explain to you why. Because in God's unfairness, He brought down His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for sins that you deserved. Amen? Amen? So aren't you glad that God does not give you what you feel you deserve? So God is unfair, right? Yes, He's unfair. Made a point. But see, there is so much joy and so much happiness in realizing that God is unfair. And we're going to talk about happiness today because a lot of people seem to be searching for it. A lot of people are looking for it or desperate for it. And we're just trying to find happiness and we're desperate for happiness. And all of us are miserable today because we're not happy and we're looking for happiness in all the wrong places with all the wrong people and all the wrong things. See, this is something that these two servants had in common. Even though their lives were different, they were given different opportunities, they both shared in the master's happiness. In the end of this passage, Jesus says that these two servants, out of the three, had this in common. They, in the end, shared happiness. In the end of this circumstance, these two servants found happiness. See, the master calls these three servants. And with one servant, he gave him 5 talents, which is a small amount. It's worthless. So he gave one 5. He gave one other 2. And then he called the third servant and he gave him 1. When you read this passage, you might say, hey, wait a minute, that's unfair. Why did God tell this story, and why did this master just give one person 5, one person 2, and one person 1? That's not fair. They both, all three of them, served the same master. The master being God in this story, God is saying here, listen, all of you are going to serve me, but not all of you are going to get the same thing. That's what we all have in common here. Right now, you're in this church because you want to serve God. And all of us have that same common denominator. We are serving the same one master. But yet the master gave 5, he gave 2, and he gave 1, and did not give all of them equal amounts. So at glance, you might say, this is unfair. This is not right. This is unjust. But notice why the master did it. The master did it because they did not realize that the master was watching them before his journey. The master was watching the man he gave 5, the man he gave 2, and the man he gave 1. And while he was watching them, he gave to them according to what? Their ability. In other words, the master was watching them. How they were conduct themselves in business and how they were act, and he was watching their character. And after a long time of watching them and seeing their character, he then called them and gave them according to his findings, according to what he saw in his servants. This is why God does not treat us equally. Because God, being the master that He is, watches you. He watches me. He watches all of us here. And He doesn't give to you according to what He gave someone else. He will only give what you're able to handle. He will only give you according to your character. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't like that. But that is God actually blessing you. Because if God would give you what you, your character cannot handle, you would destroy it. You would mess it up. So God withholds giving you more until your character matches what He can give. You guys with me? So God looks at this master. He looks at this, the three servants, and He said, I've been watching you. Is that scary? When God says, hey, I've been watching you. I was watching you that day you handled this, and I was watching you when you said this, and based on what I see in you, I know you're able to handle five. Here you go. And he called the two and he said, hey, I was watching you also. And based on what I saw in you and found in you, I know that you can be entrusted. I can trust you with two. And then he calls the other man and says, based on what I've been watching in you, I know I can give you one. And it seemed unfair, but it was actually the master saying, I don't want to mess up your life. I don't want to give you what you can't handle. Even though I'm able to, even though I have it, even though I can give you more right now, I'm not, because your character would mess it up. So when you read this passage of Scripture, Jesus is illustrating a powerful point here. Not only is God unfair and it's awesome, but God is watching you. He's watching your character to prepare you for your future. So let me simplify this. How you handle now, today, will determine what God can do for your tomorrow. So as we think about that, what does God see in you? If God would call you right now, what could God entrust you with? Knowing that your character is not going to mess it up. What can God entrust you with, knowing that your character will not defile it? What can God trust you with, knowing that your character will not destroy it? See, God will only give you according to what you're able, your ability to handle. And you're asking God for more, and you're asking God for more blessings, and you want God to do more in your life. And like the master, he's able to do more and give you more, but he won't give you more because your ability won't be able to handle it. So we're praying frustrating prayers, God, change my circumstance, give me more, when you should be praying, Lord, change me so that my circumstance will change. Understand that. But we're praying so much, Lord, change my job, change my life, change my situation. But when was the last time you got on your knees and said, Lord, change me? Because when God changes you, everything else will follow. So God was watching these men. The master was watching these men like God watches you. And he looks at your character. See, your character is who you are. And one of the biggest lies psychologists says is that your character can't change. But God is all in the business of changing character. That's why in the Bible, when he confronted people, he would change their name, because your name was your character. So you can't say that God can't change who you are. I was born this way. I've always been this way. My family was like this. But then I met God. God can change character. Character is who you are. Your character will affect how you think, what you value, how you act. Your character will have an influence on the decisions that you make. And if you're not thinking right, and you're not valuing the right things and valuing the wrong ones, and you're not acting right, and you're making some pretty stupid decisions, guess what? Your character needs some changing. Your character has a profound impact on your attitude. See, your character is who I am. My attitude is how I handle things. Let me say that one more time, because you really have to get this. Your character is who you are. Your attitude is how you handle things. How many of you need some attitude adjustment? The right attitude will bless every area in your life, every area that needs to be blessed, that needs to be changed, that needs to prosper, can only do so with the right attitude. See, the master was looking at these three servants, and what he was looking for was their attitude. He was watching their attitude and how they did things and how they acted and how they handled it. And based on how he knew they could handle it, he gave to them, which shows me that God will give according to your attitude. And if it feels like God is not giving you anything or enough, it might be that your attitude is wrong and you can't handle it. Here's my point. Two out of the three, in the end, found happiness. And let's talk about happiness for a second here. Happiness is not a milestone. The devil lies to you and says, once you reach this point in your life, then you'll be happy. You say, well, once I graduate college, once I have a career, once I retire, once I'm dead, I'll be happy. I mean, it all changes. You reach a certain milestone to realize I'm not happy yet. So for anyone that thinks happiness is a destination, you'll never find it, because happiness is not a milestone. You don't tell yourself, I'll be happy when I'm married. I'll be happy when I have children. I'll be happy when we have the house. I'll be happy when I have the career. I'll be happy when, and you fill in the blank, whatever you fill that blank with, it's wrong. Because notice what the Bible teaches here. They shared in their master's happiness. And if the master is God, God is saying here, happiness is only found in me. And I have it and I'm willing to share it. And he called them and they found happiness because they shared the happiness of the master. God wants to give you happiness, but it's only found in him. Happiness is not a milestone. Happiness is not bought. It's not something you own. If I have this house, if I have this car, if I have this luxury apartment, if I have this clothes, it's not anything you can buy. Because you realize that everything you buy, eventually you need to upgrade. And you need to change. And you get tired of it. Happiness is definitely not in a person. Believe me, amen? It's not in friends, it's not in a spouse, it's not in a boyfriend or girlfriend, it's not in any of that. So stop believing that my happiness is in someone or something. Happiness is not in something you accomplish. Once I achieve this goal and I reach this level in my status, then I'll be happy. That's why it's so lonely at the top, because you realize the top is not happy. Happiness is not something you drink. It's not a pill that you take. We're all so consumed with consumption, trying to distract ourselves from our unhappiness, that we're only doing things worse. God says here in this scripture that these servants shared in the happiness of the master. So the master said, I have happiness and I want to share it. God says, I have happiness. God is a happy God. He's not the miserable, angry, messed up God you picture him to be. He's happy right now. How many picture God like that, so I'm not the only one that sometimes... Okay. God is a pretty happy God. And not only does God say, I'm happy, I want to share my happiness. I want to give to you what I have. That's why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because the only strength you can only find in this life is the joy that only comes from God and nothing else. So these three servants were here. The master calls them and says, I'm going to give to you according to your character, your attitude. And it's just a test. So number five and number two and number one got their five, their two, and one. And when I looked at these two servants, and I saw that in the end they found happiness, It intrigued me that I began to study this verse, and I asked God, show me how they found the happiness. Because let me be honest. Can I be honest with you? I'm tired. Kind of bored with this idea of people simply saying what I just said a minute ago. Happiness is found in God. Great. How do I find that? What does that mean? The reason I'm frustrated is because I spent 3 hours straight reading a book about happiness because I was interested. The end of the book concluded this. Only God can make you happy. And I wanted to return, get my money back. Because I said, what a terrible ending. Because you can't just tell me God can make you happy. You can't just tell me only God can make you happy. You got to show me the steps on how to get the happiness that God has. That's why I started this sermon for you. Because the Bible says these two men, they shared in the happiness of the Master. And I don't know about you, but I want some of the happiness that God is offering. So I pray and I say, Lord, show me. And I wish He didn't. Because it's difficult to do. Well, let's try it anyway as a church. You guys ready for this one? There are three things they did that I don't know if I can do. But I'm going to do it for happiness. Number one. Did you notice that in this passage when the master called and gave 5, 2, and 1, Mr. 5, Mr. 2, and even number 1. Not one of them, number 1, first step. Not one of them fell into comparison. You want to be miserable? Compare yourself to every person around you. All of us live in this world now of comparison. You know, back in the day before social media, people were happy with where they were because you didn't look at anyone else. But today, we have this obsession to want to post our fake lives on the internet. And we want to show people how happy we really are, right? With all the filters and all the fake smiles, and no one knows that the person that you just took this amazing picture with is a person that right now you can't even stand. And you're mad at. Your picture, your little Christmas postcard with the kids that are irritating you. Come on now. And it's all fake. But we have to pretend and show that our lives are so just awesome. Look how happy I am. You know, the happiest I've ever been is when I got off social media. So I don't care what you're doing in your life, really. But it's the best thing. But we live in this world of constant comparison. And comparison does two things. It either will focus on what you don't have, or it will put the focus on what you do have. And let me explain. I used to be a happy flyer. I used to get on the cheapest airline I could find. Didn't care. But I would get in this little cramped up little airplane. I would always fly coach. Made the best of it. I liked it. I would read my Bible. I would watch a movie. I would sometimes talk to the person next to me, depending. But I made the best of the 3, 5, even 15 hours of flying. Until April of this year. Something really bad happened that I thought was good. I was traveling with my brother. Something went horribly wrong that forced one of us to be upgraded to first class. Guess who got it? All right, because I told him, listen, I'm the pastor. You're actually flying because you're doing this conference with me, so you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. And I need some time to spend with the Lord. I used that one. I said, I need some time to pray. You know, And Danny, being Danny, you know, he's like, okay. Just gave me anyway, and they gave him the ticket. So I got his first class ticket, his, and I sat on first class, and then he's walked by. I'm like, hello, peasant. That's what I said to him. And I was enjoying it. Man, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but first class is crazy awesome. I mean, they gave me a pillow, and the pillow was warm. You ever felt that? And they gave me juice that was complimentary and anything I wanted. They were nice. There was so much space. It was the best flight I ever had. But say you're saying, Pastor, why was it a bad experience for you? It wasn't the first class that was a bad experience. But what happened on the way home? I had to go back on my coach life. And I used to be okay with it. I used to be happy with coach. I used to enjoy the journey. But now that I had something to compare it to, my entire flight on coach was filled with complaining. This is awful. I can't believe this. When I was in first class, they did this. And now, till this day, I find it hard to enjoy coach. Honestly, pray for me. Because now the devil has ruined it for me. By giving me something to compare it to. And you might think I'm crazy, but some of you are even just as crazy. And it might not be coach, but it might be your wife, your spouse, your husband, your kids, your job, whatever, your figure, anything. You used to be happy with it until now your focus went on someone else. Something else. And now what used to satisfy you no longer satisfies you because now you're comparing yourself to something or someone else. See, comparison puts number one, the focus on what you do not have, ignoring what you do have. And it will lead to envy. It will lead to discontentment. And it can even lead to resentment. That's why there are so many people today miserable because in their comparison, they have forgotten the blessings of what they have now and are only focused on where they're not or what they do not have yet. Comparison not only puts the focus on what you don't have, but sometimes it can put the focus on what you do have, and you might actually look at others that don't have what you have, and you might get a little prideful. Did you ever notice in this passage that number five and number two? I mean, number five never looked at number two and said, wow, he only gave you two, I have five. Number two never even looked at number one and said, hey, I got one more than you. You must have done something wrong. There was no competing. There was no outshining. There was no comparison. Number five was happy with number five. Number two was satisfied with number two. Number one we'll talk about later. But listen, they never made comparison. That's why it leads me to my second point. Because if you want to find unhappiness, live with comparison. Go ahead and log into other people's Facebook and Instagram and whatever else you're all into now and see what God is doing in someone else's life that He's not doing for yours and see how miserable you get. Number two, they did not complain to the master. Be honest, if I had to be honest, and man, if that were me, and let's say I was number two, I would have looked at number five and asked the master, well, why did he get three more? Do you love him more? Is he better than me? Here's my second point. You want to find unhappiness? Complain. Forget the blessings you do have and, hey, complain about what you don't have. Because, by the way, it's unfair. Can I just be honest with you? God has been so unfair to a lot of you here. He's been unfair to me. I'm sure he's been unfair to someone listening online right now. You look at your life and you're saying, God, it's so unfair. And you tend to be tempted to complain about your situation right now, and you tend to want to complain about what you don't have. Why is it that we complain? I started asking myself and prayed about this and asked the Lord in prayer, Lord, I'm guilty. I can complain sometimes. Why? What is it about me and you, everyone here, that feels justified in complaining? How many complain about one thing at least this week alone? Wow, that's too many. Okay. Why? You want to know why you complain? You want to know why your neighbor right now, the one you're sitting next to, complains? The people around you in this church, you don't know why Christians complain? What do you want to know? Just say, Pastor, show me why. Tell me why. All right. Here's a reason why. You complain because you feel entitled. I like the silence. You complain because you feel you actually deserve something from God. See, I prayed and said, Lord, what's the cure? Honest to God, I prayed and said, Lord, show me what is the cure for complaining. And the Lord just whispered in my spirit, when you realize you deserve nothing from me. When you want complaining to go away, come to this reality in yourself that you and I deserve no good thing from God. Not one. Because some of us, we sit in our lives and we look at ourselves and we might feel that God, I mean, I deserve this right now because look at how long I've been serving you. Look at how faithful I've been. Look at how good I behave. And God, I think I deserve that promotion. I think I deserve that man now. I think I deserve these kids now. I think I deserve this now. And you realize that when you don't have it, you complain because in your natural fleshly spirit, you kind of feel entitled. See, this is generation right now, the generation that's coming up now. It's frightening, yes. But it is the most entitled generation of ever existed. It is a generation of complainers and whiners. Yeah, you there, the little girl there, yeah. That generation. She's like, me? Yes. We are raising selfish, entitled brats. And they're looking at this example from the parents. The reason you and I complain is because if we're honest with ourselves, we feel deserving and entitled. That's why any area you complain about is an area you feel entitled to. You're entitled to have peace. You're entitled to have everyone do things your way. You're entitled for having. You're entitled. That's why you're so miserable. Because if you would only realize that you deserve nothing from God, whatever He gives you would be the best blessing you've ever had. Let me illustrate this for you. Let's say that you're going to travel with me. And I tell you, hey, don't worry, the hotel's on me. I already paid for it. And you're like, awesome. Best pastor ever. And when we go there, it's a Holiday Inn Express, right? But let's say you walk into that Holiday Inn Express with a Ritz-Carlton attitude. And you wait and you realize, oh my gosh, there's no valet. And then you go to the room. And as you go to the room, you realize that you only have 2 pillows and not 15. And then you freak out because you realize, you look and go, oh my God, there's no mint on my pillows. And when you sit down in the bathroom, you can reach the door. You know what I'm talking about? Because in the Ritz-Carlton, it's a penthouse in that bathroom. It just goes on.
But you're like, oh my God, I'm touching the handle of the door. This is the smallest bathroom ever. And then you realize when you come downstairs for breakfast, you're waiting to be seated in this luxury, amazing restaurant, but you realize it's a buffet that you have to make your own waffles. And you say, this is horrible. But then a month later, I said, hey, let's go on another trip. But this time, I'm going to take you, this is a true story, I stayed in an interesting place in New York City, helping out this church. And I don't know what this church was thinking, but they put me in a hostel. It's interesting. Because my room had bunk beds. And I'm like, with strangers. All around the hallway, there was people I didn't know. And the bathroom was a community bathroom. And we shared it, and it was some gross things in that. I'm still haunted by it. And it was disgusting. So let's say I take you there. And it's even worse. And then the next month, I say, hey, let's go on another trip. And I go, and we go back, and it's a Holiday Inn Express. But now, after experiencing a hostel, he said, oh my gosh, this is the best hotel ever. I have my own room, my own bed, my own bathroom. Did the hotel change? No. My attitude did. You want to live in happiness? Thank God for everything you have right now. Stop thinking about the milestone. Stop thinking about the when. Stop thinking about what you don't have, living in comparison. Stop complaining and recognize that you and I deserve nothing good from God. If you want God to treat us fair, we'd all be in hell. Can we think about that? So any situation, any area in your life right now, you may not like it, and that's okay. It may be uncomfortable, because if you look at number 5 and 2 and 1, it was all a few amounts. It was nothing. But they did not waste time in comparison. They did not waste time complaining. They did not feel entitled. Therefore, they were not offended. Number 5 didn't say, do you know who I am? How dare you only give me 5? He accepted it. If you want to find happiness from the Master, we need to accept where God has placed you right now and make the best of it. That's why the Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, do not despise the days of small beginnings. It's so easy to despise the little and the insignificant and what you don't like. And God says, do not despise that, because more is coming. But God is testing your attitude. And God cannot do more in your life until your character changes. So number 5 and number 2, they did not waste time in comparison or complaining, because they did not feel entitled. They did not feel like they deserved more. Some of us are unhappy today because we feel as though we deserve something from God. And we deserve to have a better life than where we're at right now. But if you realize where you're at right now, the job that you're in right now, with the people you don't like right now, in the situation you don't like right now, is all a blessing from God. The fact that you got up this morning with your health and you're in a church because you're free to worship in this amazing country is a blessing in itself. We have to recognize that we deserve nothing. And when you realize that you deserve nothing, you can enjoy the hostel, the Holiday Inn, or the Ritz-Carlton, because any little thing that's a blessing from God, you say, Lord, thank you. Because I don't deserve any of this. And that's why you complain. And lastly, how did these men find the happiness of the Master? The third one is the hardest one. Some of you already ruled yourself out in the first one. I compare myself too much. Some of you thought you were going to make it until I said stop complaining. You're like, nope, I'm out. The third one is even harder. The master calls number five and number two and says, hey, come here. And he calls number one. And he says, listen, I've been watching you. And I think you're only able to handle here. Here's five. Number five gets and says, okay. He calls number two and says, hey, number two, here, I can give you two. Okay, I got it. He calls number one. He says, boy, you need help. Here, I want to give you one. He gets it. Here's the difference between five, two, and one. Number five and number two. When the master came back, after a long time, see, can you handle when God doesn't change your situation in a long time? And the master comes back and he comes to give an account, because the Bible says in the end of our lives we'll have to give an account. That's scary. To see how faithful you were with what God had given you. He looks at the servants and says, you were faithful with what I entrusted you with. And the Bible says that he then not only gave them more or double, but he also invited them to share in his happiness. So when I read that, I said, I get it now, God. Number three. Be faithful with what God has entrusted you with. And the Bible says that these servants invested. That word invest literally means to put effort and work into. See, if you would only be faithful and put the effort and invest in what God has given you now, then God can unlock the more He has for you in the future. But we have to be faithful and invest. Complaining will do nothing. Comparing will do nothing. But when you just accept what God has given you and you become faithful in it, God can say, now, well done. Now I can give you more. See, the four areas that I found out that people complain about today the most, here are the areas. Number one is being single. Interesting. Number two is marriage. So here's an ironic thing. The single people are complaining because they want to be married, and the married people are complaining because they want to be back to being single. But it's singleness, marriage, job, and health. These might be some areas that right now you're complaining about. You say, well, yeah, Pastor, I'm complaining about being single. I'm complaining about my marriage. It's not what I thought. I'm complaining about my job. I hate it. I'm complaining about my health. I jiggle too much. I don't know what you're complaining about. But I don't know why I said that, but realize this. I'm going to close it with this one here. What if, right now, we humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, this message is hard to hear, but I accept it. I'm not going to discard it. Because I admit that I've been comparing myself lately and I've been unhappy. And I even confess that I might be a little complaining too much lately. And maybe I am feeling entitled and like I deserve more from God. But if I would just realize that I deserve nothing from God, and I accept what He has given me, and rather than complain and compare, I invest and put the work in it, maybe God can then change what seems to you to be small and insignificant. So let's say that it is being single. Invest in it. Be the best single there is. Enjoy the fact that you save money. You can do whatever you want. You can come back home whenever you want. No one's calling you. No one's bugging you. Amen? And be the best. I know the married people, that sounds awesome. Listen, you're married. You're married. Don't even go there. But be the best single and invest in it. And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I mean, I'm complaining about marriage. I know I've been nagging at my spouse lately. But what if, rather than trying to change your spouse, you invest in them? What if you say, I'm going to invest in her, I'm going to invest in him, and I'm going to spend my time, my effort, my energy on bettering them and putting my love towards them and really seeing them change through my investment? See, the marriages are ending today because couples no longer want to invest in each other. But if you just wake up next to them and thank God that you have someone that's willing to put up with you, that you have someone to love, someone to care for, and stop complaining and start investing and stop your self-entitled attitude in your marriage, you might see some change. If you're complaining about your job and you hate it so much, you're doing the very bare minimum. What if right now you say, Lord, thank you that I even have a job to go to? Because isn't it interesting that the master said to number one, take it away? Because hey, the very thing you're complaining about, God can take away right now. And God can make you a widow in a second. God can make you unemployed in a heartbeat. And rather than sitting there in your self-pity attitude and self-entitled attitude, an ungodly attitude at that, wake up every Monday morning and say, Lord, thank you that I even have a job to go to. Because some people out there are fearing for next month's rent because they have no income coming in. If you're complaining about your health, do something about it. Some of you, I'm not going to name names, complain today and say, Pastor, where are the croissants? That's how entitled you become. You expect the amazing bakery that's out there in the lobby every Sunday, right? But the one Sunday we couldn't provide, you're like, where is it? One of them was the kid. They're like, where are the croissants? Like, fancy. And I'm like, what is wrong with this church? But rather than complain about it, do something about it. Hey, next Sunday, he's not here now, but why don't you thank my dad who has to wake up at 5 in the morning every weekend to bring you those things? Think about that and say, hey, I missed you last Sunday. No, you didn't miss him. You missed your croissants. I get it. But thank him. But see, my point is this. If I waste my energy, my time, this life that I have, that's very little, on comparison and complaining, my situation will never change. In fact, God can actually take the blessing away. But if I just look at where I'm at, knowing that God has me there for a reason, and I just be faithful and I invest in where God has placed me, God can actually do more because He has more. And say, Lord, help me to change my character and forgive me for my self-entitled complaining, comparison attitude. And help me to be faithful to what you have given me today. See, number one was lazy. He did nothing. And some of you say, I'm not going to do anything until God changes it. And God says, I'm not going to change it until you do something. And you're both stuck. Do something. No, I'm going to do nothing. And God looked at this number one and said, you're wicked. You're lazy. And the master said, take it away from him and give it to him. See, the master was letting number one know, I don't need you. You know that God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. He decides to give you. He decides to use you. But if he sees that what God has given you, you've become lazy in, he'll take it away. God has given you an amazing church. Amen? Stop being lazy with it. Serve in it. Give to it. Love it. Because what if I told you next week God takes it away? If you have an amazing marriage, or if you don't, say, you know what? God can take it away. I'm just going to invest. If you don't like your job, listen, that's okay. But don't let your attitude say, I'm going to be lazy in it. Whatever area in your life you choose to become lazy in is an area that God will take away. So God says, invest in what I've given you so that I can give you more. And in the end, these two, number 5 and 2, had this in common. They both shared equally in the happiness of the master. Even though number 5 was different than number 2. See, you and I are different in the way that God is going to do in my life, maybe what he's not going to do in yours, but all of us can share this common ground. All of us can find joy and happiness in the master we both serve right now. You say, how, Pastor? Did you not listen? Be faithful. And God will give you more. And he'll test you. Right now you're in a situation saying, I don't like this. Listen. You think number 5 liked getting 5? No, it was embarrassing. You think number 2 liked getting 2 talents? No, it was a shameful thing. You mean you've been watching me and the best I can get is 5? But he said, no, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to compare. I'm going to make it work. Help me preach this today. So just hit your neighbor and say, hey, make it work. If you're married, say, you better invest in me. And be grateful for what God has done in your life right now. And ask the Lord to forgive you for a lazy, entitled, complaining, comparing attitude. You guys receive this word today? Because if you discard it, I feel bad for you. Because if you discard this word, you're going to stay where you're at when God is ready to do more. Let's all stand and pray to dismiss this service. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as an act of confession, I'm going to put my hand up first. Hey, if you guys are saying, Pastor, I confess to the Lord right now, I've been comparing, I've been complaining, I've been lazy with what God has given me. I've been ungrateful. And maybe that's why I'm unhappy today. Show me your hands right now and say, Pastor, I'm guilty of this right now. God bless you all here. Just about everyone in the room today. Let me pray for you today. To yourself right now, just tell the Lord where you've been lazy. What area in your life have you been drawing comparisons? And hey, even what area in your life have you been complaining about? And realize now that the very thing you're complaining about is something you don't even deserve in the first place. But you have forgotten that because you feel as though you deserve fairness from God. But God is unfair. But he is sovereign. And he gives to you according to your character. So thank him that he's withheld blessings because he knows that had he done it now, you would have destroyed him. And God has been patient with you and loving towards you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you forgive us for our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for our attitudes. Forgive us when we've fallen into comparison, to complaining. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride and our arrogance as though we deserve goodness from you. And your word declares that every good gift is from above. We deserve nothing good from you. But you give it to us in love, in grace, and in mercy. Thank you for being unfair, because that unfairness of you is what brought Jesus to this earth to die for us. Because Jesus got what he did not deserve. So Father, I thank you for that first and foremost. And I pray for any person here today or online that's guilty of being ungrateful. And help us starting today, right now, Lord, to appreciate what you've given us, where we're at, and make the effort and the investment to put in the work, because you have more for us, but you're holding it back until we prove ourselves faithful to what you've given. So I pray, Lord, that in any area of our lives right now, we be faithful. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Would you give God a shout of praise today? He deserves that. Amen.